Hello, this is Michelle Moreland with the Variety Radio Online. Today I'm excited to talk about a new thriller from Blaine Weaver, Cut to the Chase. This is Blaine's fourth film, which shows his amazing talent as a writer and a producer. But what is more amazing is it shows his talent as an actor. He is stunning as Max in Cut to the Chase. Welcome, Blaine.
Hey, thank you so much. What a great intro. Stunning. Can you engrave that on something and have it sent to me?
Well, you know, I watched it. I fell in love with you. I mean, you did such a great job of pulling, and you're a bad guy. So you're like, you're pulling on our heartstrings. You did an amazing job. I was very, very excited about the movie, and I hope it does really, really well.
Thank you so much. Well, me too, absolutely. But yeah, Max is kind of like in this film noir world, you know, he's like the good guy is the least bad guy, if that makes any sense. And that's Max.
Yeah.
So it's like it's important that you like him, even though he's, you know, definitely got his character flaws.
Yeah, he does. For our listeners, let's do this, Blaine. Talk a little bit about Max and the film. Let's talk a little bit about, tell them a, kind of a recap of what Cut to the Chase thriller is about.
Absolutely. So Cut to the Chase is a film noir thriller, edge of your seat kind of excitement, right? It's basically about Max. He's an ex-con, and he's always on the wrong side of the law, and he has this little sister who's always bailing him out of trouble. And then one day, she disappears. So Max has to follow the clues and go into, like, the underworld of this small Louisiana town trying to find what happened to his sister. Thrill a minute.
Yeah, it is. It keeps you on the edge of your seat. Was all the filming on location?
Yeah, we shot it all in Shreveport, Louisiana, which is actually also my hometown. So it was a really fun thing of trying to make a movie in my hometown. And, like, you know, it was a very micro-budget film, but, like, it was great. Like, we'd have these great actors there, and then my mom would show up with lunch. You know what I mean? So it was a real family endeavor.
That's fun. And I know the actors had to appreciate that, because that's something different than being on a set that's, like, everything's either – catered or doesn't feel like home. So I know they probably enjoy just that hometown feeling.
You know, that the entire area of North Louisiana, you know, we've had the film industry really came in about 10 years ago with this tax incentive that we had. There are all of these local crew and cast that are incredibly talented. And, like, the work has kind of dried up a little bit in that area. And so it was really great to get to work with these people all in Louisiana who are so excited to do it. And I tell you, doing a movie for this budget, especially a thriller and whatnot, it's a big, I hate to say risk, but they really have to believe in it to do it for the amount of money that's offered. So, like, basically what happened was just everybody pulled together and, you know, everybody did it for no money, and they did it for the love of telling a story. And I think you really see that in the film.
Speaking of, being on location and everything, what was your time frame in filming this?
We did it in about 24 days in Shreveport, Louisiana, and then we did one day in Los Angeles. And that was in 2015. We did a year on the festival circuit where we played all these great festivals across the country and won a bunch of awards and, you know, got heralded, which is really awesome for, a film noir thriller. You know, it is a genre picture, and it's not really something that you would think would do well on the indie circuit, but the film festivals really just ate it up, and so that was a lot of fun. And then we just now did our New York premiere last night, and we drop on Video On Demand on March 7th, so that's the timeline.
No, that's exciting. Yeah. What was your biggest challenge in that 24 days filming a thriller that you think would take so much longer? What was your biggest challenge?
You know, I was talking about this at the premiere last night, but, like, of the four films that I've directed, this one was the easiest. And that's really surprising, being the budget level and, you know, the genre, because, you know, you have guns, you have stunts, you have, you know, travel for Los Angeles, and then you have, you know, very little money to fix problems with. But at a certain point, with this film, it just felt like everybody who was involved was all in, you know, just like, we want to make this thing the best it could be. And so, like, the things that are normally problematic really weren't. Like, we didn't deal with any egos, and, you know, our actors who came out from Los Angeles weren't upset at the size of their non-existent trailer. Honestly, the biggest problems were just that I'm in every scene, and I'm getting beat up pretty much the entire movie. So it was about, like, me being able to get up and run again the day after I'd been running downtown streets of Shreveport in cowboy boots for 12 hours. It's like, all right, just grin and bear it, buddy.
You had to have really comfortable cowboy boots. I'm just saying.
You know what? I didn't, and it messed me up for months.
Oh, no.
I'm better now, though. Everybody's recovered.
I just got me a good pair, and they are so comfortable. I could wear them all day walking around a fair or something. So they're out there.
Yeah. They're out there, and I'm gonna look for that pair.
I won't say the name brand on air, but I'll text you later, and I'll tell you the name of the most comfortable
cowboy
boots.
Please do.
With the film, also, you've had some great actors, and you were just speaking about them coming down and just giving their heart to it, but they also are so talented. You know, each one of them really, I felt, drew you in into their role and made you feel part of it, and then twist you and threw out the knife, and you were like, damn. So I thought you picked some amazing actors, and I thought they really did a really good job with their roles. They just truly embraced that character.
Thank you so much. I'm so proud of the film. I mean, we've got Lindy Greenwood, who's one of the stars of Fox's TV show Sleepy Hollow, and, like, she's amazing. And then we've got Erin Cahill, who plays my sister, and she's best known for being a Power Ranger in Power Rangers Time Force, but she works all the time. Like this, one of the biggest problems, I wrote this part for Erin to play my sister, and one of the biggest problems we had was that she was working so much that we had to shift a little bit just to make it work, you know? But, I mean, that is an amazing problem to have an actor who's, you know, wanted all over the world to do things, and you're like, all right, I'll move for 3 days so I can get the person I wrote this movie for. But then, of course, we had Lance Henriksen as, you know, the man, as the big bad guy that, you know, it's everyone's afraid of, and he's, like, just a film icon. He played Bishop in Aliens, and he was in The Terminator, and, like, he's just this incredibly intense and intimidating actor, and, like, we were so lucky to get him.
Like you say, kind of iconic. I mean, he's a face that we've seen through our generation, and seeing him so serious and part of it, he's just an amazing actor, so I thought he did a really good job. So
he's such a great force. Like, he walks onto the set, and you just, like, feel this, like, he's intimidating as hell. But also, you know, he just fills the screen. And, he embodied that character of the intimidating bad guy better than I could have imagined anybody doing it.
The one thing you did, I'll ask you a little bit about as far as the filming, because – You jumped a little in the film. It jumps past, present, often. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, did you tweak like the coloring and the way it jumps? Because there's something, as I was watching it, when it jumps, it changes on the screen somehow dramatically. That really helps. Not only is the setting a little different, obviously, when you jump back in time, but there was something to me that I felt like it was on the screen. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. That's a very good observation. You know, basically the movie is tempo-wise. It's like, what we want is for the movie to begin, and then we slam it into gear, and we hit the gas, and we don't stop until the end. And, you know, like any great hard-boiled detective, you know, story, that's what we want. But he's following clues. So every time we find something or he figures something out, he'll flash back to, you know, his relationship with his sister, or, you know, something where he learned somewhere, and we change the color grade so that, like, we have before she disappears and after she disappears. So if that makes any sense. But, like, we're in Max's brain following his thinking throughout. And the truth is, one of my favorite things about the narrative is it opens, in the opening scenes, his sister has disappeared. And so we get to know their relationship through these flashbacks, like very rarely in any kind of real time. And I just really like the way that that worked out in the final film.
I did too. I really felt, and like you said, it was very fast-paced and throughout the whole thing. And as it went back and forth to time, through time, it was so subtle, even though you knew what was happening, it was like it was still kind of going forward. Like you said, I guess, you know, Max thinking through it. And you did a really good job of staying in Max's point of view. And so I really, that was a really good job.
One of the things thematically that I really, that really helped us a lot, and actually how we kind of got to the title Cut to the Chase, is early on when we were filming, when we were writing the script and, you know, collaborating with my team and everything and trying to make this movie what we wanted it to be, we talked about the jump cut, right, where there's no, you don't have to see a guy walking all the way across the room. You can see little snippets of him walking across the room. And that's, you know, once you establish that as a theme, that sets the tempo for the movie. And so, like, we did it initially to kind of deal with budget. So, like, if we're doing a fight scene and, like, something doesn't look real or we can't afford to do it the way we really want to, we'll just jump cut it, right? That was an idea that we had. We didn't need to use that because we had so many talented people on set. So, but, like, it became a theme. And when we were titling it, Cut to the Chase is kind of what the idea of this movie is. It's like, let's just get to the business. Let's get to the excitement. Let's get to the chase, you know? But, yeah, it turned into a whole kind of vibe for the movie.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to you. I really think this was a really good movie, and we'll do everything we can on our end to put it out there for you. Have safe travels today, Blaine, and I truly enjoyed taking the time out and talk to me.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
This is Michelle, and I wanted to make sure all you listeners had a way to get to the movie. It's called Cut to the Chase. They have a website, cuttothechase.com. It's a wonderful way to see what's going on with all the actors and how to get to the movie, download it. It comes out digitally March 7th, and it is available now nationwide on VOD. Again, you can go to their website, cuttothechasefilm.com, or you can go to facebook.com, Cut to the Chase Film. And there they have updates on the actors again and their appearances, and how to download the film when it comes out digitally. And if it's in a theater near you, it is coming out in a couple of spots in theaters nationally, and maybe you can stop in and see it that way also. It's a wonderful film, a thriller based in Louisiana, and it is no joke. It is a thriller, keeps you on the edge of the seat till the very last minute. Check it out, Cut to the Chase, Variety Radio Online.